It was interesting. I kind of had this message all prepared on Monday, and then Tuesday I had an opportunity. It was a fairly unexpected day on Tuesday for me. This kind of goes along with the message. It's kind of a little extra too. We're family, so Tuesday morning, I went to work, just like I have for, it's been over 13 and a half years now, and went in and got the surprise meeting notice, came up on my computer with way high up guy in the company, and I'm like, okay, that's weird. And so as the day went on, other people were getting such meeting notices, and everybody was talking and wondering what was going on. And before we knew it, we started hearing of people who were getting laid off. We're like, oh boy. And by noon on Tuesday, I was laid off. And so I'm jobless at the moment. There we go. There was a good response. Marilyn had a good response. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in everything. And, even in the midst of that seeming adversity as it might be, I was thankful for a number of opportunities just to, because there were about 50 of us who got laid off. I mean, it wasn't a personal thing. It was across the board, wiping out the entire engineering department. And so there was a lot of, I mean, it was everything from a few people excited because they were ready to retire anyways and were getting severance and were like, woohoo! And then there were others who were not so happy, and there were those sitting at their desk just crying and confused and not knowing what was going on. And so it was in the midst of that, I had some opportunities just to share the Lord, love of the Lord here and there, and I was thankful for that. At this point, I don't know what I'm doing other than following the Lord day by day. And I'm confident that He will get me where I'm supposed to be. Natural wisdom would say, run out real quick, get your resume, try to get another engineering job as quick as you can. And I don't know. I'm going to just see where the Lord leads. And so, as family, I'm just saying that's what's going on in my life. One, I would ask that you pray for me. Two, be patient with me in this season as I'm figuring out what I'm going to be doing. There's, when somebody retires or if somebody's between jobs, all of a sudden it's amazing how everybody says, oh, you got time, you can do this, you can do that. And again, it's fine to ask for me to do things, but I'm just trying to be sensitive to the Lord in this season and just saying, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to be doing? Because there's a lot of good things I could be doing, but there's one thing that I should be doing, and that's what I want to know. So anyways, that's where I'm at. I am fully confident that it's God's perfect timing. There's a number of things He shared with me over the years, and I just know He's got the plan, even though I don't have a clue what tomorrow holds or what I'll be doing. So anyways, opportunity. There are always opportunities if we see them as such. Dictionary.com, yeah, that's real spiritual, but hey, it's all right. Dictionary.com says that an opportunity is a situation or a condition that is favorable for the attainment of a goal. An opportunity is a situation or a condition that is favorable for attainment of a goal. In other words, a situation, a condition that's going to be helpful toward helping you get to a goal. So the question becomes, what is our goal? Because that will determine whether it's an opportunity or not. If our goal in life is comfort or worldly pleasure or worldly security or just to have fun or eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow you're going to die. I mean, we can have different goals, but a lot of those goals, adversity doesn't really help those goals out too much. So what is our goal? Over the years, I don't know where I got it or where I started it, but I didn't even recognize it until just a few years back, and it was with my nephews, where they would do something or they were going to do something, and just my natural, what I would say without even thinking about it, I would say, you know, they do something, I'd say, did you have fun? Or they were getting ready to go somewhere, have fun. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying have fun, but as I was saying that, there was one point where the Holy Spirit just checked my heart. I'm like, what? And I realized what I was teaching them. Every time they would do something or had done something, I would say, did you have fun? And I was teaching them by the question that I was valuing by always saying it, I was teaching them unknowingly that life is all about having fun. If you don't have fun, then something's wrong. And the goal is to have fun. And again, there's times that we have fun. I'm not against ever having fun. But if that's our goal, if that's our focus, then let me tell you, when adversity comes, it's not going to further that goal. So I've changed, and some people have started picking it up, but a lot of times, if somebody's going to do something or go somewhere, I say, be blessed and be a blessing. Be blessed and be a blessing. Now, so if you want to know about be blessed, read the first part of Matthew, and it says, blessed are those who persecuted, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. So, but be blessed and be a blessing. When we're in those situations, whatever we're doing, remember that we're there to be a blessing. That it's not this focus on how can I have fun, how can I find enjoyment, but how can I be a blessing? Certainly there's enjoyment in following the Lord, but when that becomes our focus, then things get twisted up. Let's read just a few verses in Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, starting with verse 8 through 14. And here Paul is going through some of his travels and traveling around, preaching, and doing all that he does. In verse 8, it says, leaving the deck next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus, how'd you like to be named Agabus? If you have a kid, there's a good one for you. Hey, Agabus. Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul had a goal. And if it had been comfort or security or worldly pleasure or whatever that is, yeah, I wouldn't have lined up with that too much. You don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Actually, let's read there. 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3:1-5. Oh, this is a fun one. Not so much. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Among all that stuff in that verse 4, there's one statement, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Again, our goal can be to have a comfortable, pleasurable life. But that's a dangerous goal to have. At the same time, and I've even taught it, and I still believe it, that at the right hand of the Lord, there's pleasures evermore. It is pleasurable to experience times in His presence, of knowing Him. And so pleasure itself is not evil. But when pleasure becomes our focus, when we become lovers of pleasure, then we get off course. When we love God, we will experience some pleasure, but that's different than loving pleasure, if that makes sense. In my own life, I have found even in my relationship with the Lord, like there's been seasons where I've just been spending time in His presence, and it's wonderful and pleasurable, and I'm just so thankful for it, but there's been times where I get so focused on that pleasure, that even that derails me because I stop really seeking the Lord and I'm just in it to feel good. But when I seek Him, then the pleasure at times comes, but that's just a byproduct. That's not the focus. If we love Him, we'll love what He loves. We'll do what He does. Okay. So a few examples of opportunities in my own life. The first one is going to be my fail. My failed opportunity. And, you know, in some ways it's a simple thing, but it's the simple little things a lot of times that trip us up. We miss. Recently, I had somebody I know that was getting married, and I know them, and I was invited to the wedding, and I just felt obligated to go because, you know, I know this person, and I don't really want to go, but I feel obligated, so I'll go, and I went, and I believe I should have gone. But the whole time that I was there, I was just kind of there. I sat through the service. I went to the reception. Thank you. I'm big on weddings, you can tell. I went to the reception afterwards, and I got home, and all of a sudden I began reflecting on the whole thing, and I was just like, I just kind of was there. I was not a blessing. I mean, I think that to some degree I was probably a little blessing here and there more than I knew, but I could have been a lot more. I missed out on a lot because I was just focused on me. I was just focused on, I don't really want to be here. So that self-focus steals from our opportunity. And, you know, not that the little wedding is a huge adversity, but still, these whatever it is that comes up in our lives that we don't want to do, and yet we feel like we're supposed to go or be there, wherever we're at, remember that we're there to be a blessing. We're not there just to have fun. And so in a situation where it might not have been fun for me, I still could have been a blessing. I might have even had a little fun if I had been focused on somebody else and was a blessing. But anyways, so that's a little one, but a big one at the same time. That's my fail. Second one is my almost missed opportunity. Thankfully, it was not missed, but it was almost missed. I'm going to share a little key, I think, that will hopefully be helpful for all of us in this particular type of thing. To share this, I kind of have to back up and share a little bit more of the bigger story on this one. And this is also kind of just a testimony of the Lord. I mean, there's every now and then, there's just those circumstances that you just like, wow, only God could have orchestrated that and done that. And it's like, to you be the glory. And so it was earlier this year that I was at IHOP. It was Tuesday night, like we always go to International House of Prayer. And I was sitting there in the back, like I usually do. I'll just go and sit or stand in the very back against the wall and pray. And we hadn't been there very long, and I was back there. And all of a sudden, this guy about my age walks over to me, and he says, "Excuse me, can I talk to you?" I was like, "Sure." And so he sat down beside me, and he just opened up and started sharing these struggles that he was having in his life, and said, you know, he's grown up in church, but he doesn't know the Lord, and he doesn't know what to do, and he knew some people that were at IHOP, so he thought he'd just come, and he was in the middle of I won't share all the detail, but in the middle of a messed up stuff going on in his life at that very moment. And he was like, "I'm just going to go to IHOP and see what I can find there." And it just so happened that the one time that he came to IHOP was that hour and a half section when I was there. And so for about an hour, we just shared and prayed, and it was just the flow of the Holy Spirit. One of those wonderful times where you just look back and like, wow, that was just totally not me. That was all the Lord. He set it up, and the Holy Spirit just flowed, and he did it. So that was cool, and I thought that was the end of the story. And that's out in Grandview, way out there in Grandview. Until about a month or so ago, I was at work over here in Olathe. They're doing a bunch of reorganizing, and they've got a bunch of contractors in doing electrical work and painting and all kinds of stuff. And I was walking down the hallway, and I saw one of the contractors there. I was like, that looks exactly like the guy that I talked to at IHOP. He was up doing some work, and I couldn't really get to him to talk to him, but I was like, that's got to be him. And then the next week, there were several times where I kept spotting him. I was like, I know that's him. And so I think it was just last week, I was working at my desk in the middle of the morning, and I just felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit say, go upstairs. I didn't know why. So I went upstairs, and there was this contractor. He was kind of off by himself, and it was just a perfect opportunity to go talk to him. So I started towards him, and immediately I was struck with fear. I normally have fear of, that's just my personality. I'm the engineer guy that I'll walk the other way instead of talking to somebody. But it was beyond even that. I mean, it was one of those times where it's just demonic or whatever fear that was paralyzing fear. And I'm in that moment, I know I'm supposed to talk to this guy, And I can't make myself do it. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before. That petrifying fear. Yeah. Well, maybe a different circumstance. Yeah, you're an extrovert. But in a different circumstance where that fear strikes and you just can't do what you know you're supposed to do. And it was in that moment where Margot, just a few weeks before that in a prayer time, had spoken something, and her words just, boom, at that moment, just went right through my head, and I was like, oh, yeah. She had talked about moments of fear and how that's a lie from the enemy, and when we're in that place, pray in the Spirit. I thought, now's the time. So I started praying in the Spirit. I turned around and started going the other direction, but I was praying in the Spirit while I was going the other direction, and it didn't take long before that. I was still a little afraid, but the petrifying fear of it was gone, and I turned around and I went. So end of the story. I talked to the guy and I said, "So, have we met before?" And he looked at me. I don't know. I said, "Have you ever been to International House of Prayer?" He kind of looked at me. He said, "Well, I went there one time." I said, "Did you pray and talk with a guy that looked like me?" And all of a sudden, his eyes got big. It's like, dude, this is crazy. Looking back, I'm glad I took that opportunity because I'm not there anymore. I don't have a badge. I can't get in there anymore. Lord knew what he was doing. He's right on time. But anyways, so that was an opportunity that came and would have been missed if it weren't for, in this case, praying in the Spirit. Okay, so here's my last personal example, and this is actually the one that kind of this whole concept of the opportunity came out of. And this is, I don't know, a month and a half ago, something like that, probably a month ago. I was in the midst of just really busy at work. The last couple months, they had been working us overtime, and between that and ministry and regular life stuff, my life was just running over at the moment. In the midst of that busyness, I get a letter in the mail from somebody that we all love to get letters from. The IRS. I was like, why am I getting a letter from the IRS? This is odd. I opened it up and this is not their exact verbiage, but basically, you're the lucky winner. You get an audit for your taxes. Like, no, not now. I don't want that anytime, but this is a horrible time. I don't have time for this. So I called them and they said, yeah, you were selected for an audit, and your charitable giving is totally out of line with your income, and we need you to prove that you're actually giving this much. And so I don't know that I was complaining, but I was probably on the verge of complaining, and I was just like, Lord, I mean, all these times you've asked me to give, I've obeyed, what's my reward? I get an audit, thanks. And as I was telling the Lord that, immediately the Holy Spirit just spoke into my heart and said, David, this is an opportunity. And as soon as he said that, I knew what he was talking about. This was an opportunity not for the IRS to interrogate David Triplett. This was an opportunity for Christ in me. Christ is in us. Where we go, Christ goes. For Christ to infiltrate the IRS. You know, these are opportunities. It talks about the apostles in Scripture who Jesus said, well, you'll be taken before kings and all these people. And those weren't good circumstances. They weren't taking them to the kings to be like, oh, yeah, great job. No, he's taken to the kings to be bound and all kinds of stuff. But they were opportunities. So in the same, I'm not saying I'm an apostle, and I'm not saying that going to the IRS is anything like being brought before kings. But it's an opportunity. And so my whole perspective shifted. One moment I'm like, oh, stink. Because what? My eyes are on me. My eyes are on this is going to affect my comfort. This is going to affect my pleasure. This is going to affect, well, you name it. This is not going to be fun. When that was my goal, even though I wasn't really realizing that was my goal, that was not going to be helpful for attaining my goal. But when I realized that this was an opportunity to demonstrate Christ, suddenly this little thing that was going to be awful was like, oh, wow, I'm actually kind of looking forward to this. I mean, I wasn't looking. I had to do some extra gathering of data and take time off from work and go in. And yeah, I didn't really appreciate having to do all that. But at the same time, I was looking forward to it. And a couple weeks ahead, I knew the names of the two auditors that were going to be there, and I was just praying for them. I asked a few other people, pray for these auditors. I just really felt like the Lord had this for a reason. And so I went there, and I had all the documentation I needed, and they cleared me. But in the midst of that, there were a number of times where I just got to share the Lord. And no big, profound things, but you know, as they were talking about my giving and different things, I was just able to share. You know, God's worth extravagance. He's a good God. He's worthy of it. And I could tell the one auditor, every time I'd mention anything about the Lord, he'd just get all uncomfortable. And it's and then the other auditor there was just really taking note. And she was, several times, she's just, I could tell she was thinking. And she's like, wow, That's really good. And as I left, I just said, God bless you. And the one auditor said, thanks for coming in. Said, most people are not very happy when they come in here. So again, in these little things of life, when things arise, they may very well be an opportunity. And we can look, of course, ultimately to Jesus, who what? He did a lot of good stuff. Healed, delivered, fed. I mean, raised from the dead. He did some good stuff. And what was his reward? Oh, we're going to beat you. We're going to mock you. We're going to make fun of you. We're going to nail you to a cross, leave you for dead. And that ultimate adversity was actually the ultimate opportunity to demonstrate the ultimate love of God. At that moment where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a demonstration of the love of Christ. Jesus himself kind of went through the same thing of what? Take this away. This, if there's another way, yeah, I'd like to hear it exactly. But no. No, this is an opportunity. An opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ. Now, a little, as we close tonight, a little asterisk on all of this. We're not here to seek suffering. Like, okay, I'm just going to suffer for Christ. You know, I'll do something to make myself suffer. No, we're to follow Christ. And sometimes that will lead us into suffering. Sometimes that'll lead us out of suffering. And don't have to turn to these if you're taking notes. Luke 4:28-30 is a point where they were going to throw Jesus off a cliff. They were hacked off. They were going to throw him off a cliff, and Jesus just made his way through the crowd and got out of there. It wasn't his time. So we need discernment as things come up as to discerning whether this is an opportunity to be led like a sheep to the slaughter or whether it's an opportunity to flee. Another one, you don't have to turn there, but Acts 9, 24 to 25 is where Paul escaped in a basket over the wall. They were coming to get him. He escaped. Of course, we read at the beginning there where they said, okay, you're going to be bound. And he said, no, I'm going. I'm ready not only to be bound, I'm ready to die. So again, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to discern where we're at, what's going on. But be ready for opportunities in our lives. Again, anything the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, but a couple of those keys. One of not getting our focus on us, but focusing on the Lord. Not focusing on, okay, you know, today I'm just, my goal is to be comfortable or be worldly pleasure or worldly security or have fun or, no, not so much. No, my goal is to know you, Lord, to follow you. What's the scripture say? To know you even in your sufferings. To know you and to demonstrate you. To infiltrate wherever it might be that God sends you. Maybe it's the IRS. Maybe it's the grocery store. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's go down the list. But we're there to be blessed and to be a blessing. Okay. In closing, I'm going to teach you an annoying jingle. You know, like the advertisements? Yeah. Those advertisements you see, and you're like, oh, that's so stupid. And then the next day, you're singing it. Yeah. Like, oh, stupid. Can't get it out of my head. So tomorrow, when you're thinking of this, you can thank me. If I can do it. I can't even do it now. In the midst of adversity is the presence of opportunity. In the midst of adversity is the presence of opportunity. See, don't you want to sing along? I mean, isn't that nice? Yeah, that's. It's in the midst of adversity is the presence of opportunity. When that adversity is there, there's actually an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ. So we can all go away singing, in the midst of adversity is the presence of opportunity. In the midst of adversity is the presence of opportunity. In the midst of adversity is the presence of opportunity. All right, well, enough of that. Touche. But when the adversity comes and you remember that little jingle, you can thank me. No, you can thank the Lord. All right, well, praise God. He's good. He's worthy. He's with us in the midst of adversity. He's in them there. And that's the big thing. Remembering that he is with us. If we're thrown into the fiery furnace, he's there. Children of, you know, the three children said what? He can deliver us. We know he can. But even if he doesn't, then we're not going to bow down. We're still going to be a demonstration of our God. Thank you, Lord. Any thoughts? Any rotten fruit to throw? I got a podium to hide behind. Yes. In the midst of adversity is the presence of opportunity. The presence being the P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. There we go. Sing it. Keep it going. Keep it going. There we go. That's what helpmates are for. Keep. Alrighty. Well, with that, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for humor. Thank you that we can laugh. Thank you that we can have fun. At the same time, thank you that you give us the grace to walk through adversity, to walk through, to have a totally different focus, a totally different goal than the world has. A goal of knowing you and demonstrating you, of experiencing your love for us, and then flowing out that same love to those around us. To be a different people, a people who shine like stars in the midst of darkness, so radically different that people would see you in us, that people would see you in our actions, in our responses, and that in turn they would glorify you and say, wow, only God could do that. Only God could take us naturally selfish people and make a people willing to lay down their lives. Father, I ask that you would help us in the days to come to love like you love, to know your love for us personally in a deeper, greater way, and then in turn to release that same love to those around us. Father, I know it's your heart. I know it's your desire, as you prayed in John 17, that we would be one. That we would be one. That the world would know us by our love. Father, forgive us for our times of selfishness. Teach us, teach me to walk in your ways, to not miss the opportunities that you set before us, to recognize the opportunities. Father, I'm asking that even tomorrow, as we wake up tomorrow and we go through our day, that as things arise that mess with our comfort or mess with our pleasure or mess with our security or mess with our fun, that we would stand back for a moment and say, Father, what's your perspective here? That we would allow you to redirect our focus to the opportunities that you set before us. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you, Father. God, I just ask that you would bless each one here, that you would cause your face to shine upon them, and that you would give them peace, true peace, Father, that you would give them peace in their hearts tonight, to rest in you and to walk in you, to allow you to do what we cannot do in our own strength. We thank you. We praise you. You are worthy of praise. Amen. In the midst of adversity is the presence of opportunity. In the midst of adversity is the presence of opportunity. All right. God bless you.